You're listening to First Up here on TSN 1050. Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Poliakovo with you. The morning of Game 5 between the Leafs and the Lightning. You're hearing Gray Street by Dave Matthews Band. A perfect way to segue into our next guest, who I'm going to guess is a fan of Dave Matthews Band. Not confirmed. We'll ask him in just a second. But it's also the nickname, Carlo, that you coined for Matthews, Marner, and Bunting. A line that has not been together very often in the Stanley Cup playoffs so far. Will that apply tonight? Let's find out. We'll go to the source, Chris Johnston, our hockey insider. CJ, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Good, man. Are you a Dave Matthews Band fan?
No chance. That's a hard
really?
No for me.
What?
Surprises me. I had the DMB vibe from you.
No, his voice annoys me.
Wow.
Jeez, that's a really tough thing.
I don't know. Chris Johnston's
opinions on no bands, but for some reason I've just never liked DMV, and
interesting.
It's funny, it's the one random band you asked me about.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Well, we'll get some other.
Well, tell them why we asked them about him.
Well, I did. I explained the Matthews Band, the Matthews, Marner, and Bunting line, CJ, has not been together. And what is your intel on Bunting's health status? Clearly, he's not at 100%. He's not. He's got, some kind of knee injury based on the way he left the ice, 2.5, 3 weeks ago, and has not been in his traditional, customary role alongside the two big boys with the Toronto Maple Leafs. You think maybe we see him back there to begin tonight's game?
I do think it's possible he's back there. You know, there's obviously going to be some adjustments or tweaks from Sheldon Keefe. And you know, it's too bad for Michael Bunting. He really thought he was on top of his game, you know, right until he got injured that, you know, last week of the season in Florida. And to miss those games, to not be fully back to himself, to not be skating as well as we're used to seeing, it's unfortunate. And, you know, but it does happen in playoffs. You know, Tampa's guys, you know, Braden Point was injured late in the regular season, and he's found his legs in the series. And so, you know, just because he hasn't been at his best so far doesn't mean he can't get back there and find it. But, you know, I think it's been a little bit of a struggle for Michael Bunting. He did score in game two, a nice goal, big goal for the Leafs at the time, but you know, he's definitely not full-on super pest the way he was a lot of the year.
Do you think that the Maple Leafs' worst defenseman will be in the lineup tonight, CJ? And I ask that as an homage to a certain Toronto Sun columnist who called him that, to Sheldon Keefe. What is your take on Justin Hall versus Timothy Liljegren this evening?
Who do you think is the worst defenseman?
Well,
that's my opinion.
Marincin is not
that's
part
your
of
opinion.
The team anymore. Yeah, Marincin doesn't play for the Leafs anymore.
So yeah, Marincin back in the lineup tonight. Who knew it? Do you think Liljegren gets back in tonight?
You know, I don't have a good feel for that. It's a tough one. I mean, Justin Hall's been on the ice for one goal in the series. It's the one goal everyone remembers, the one a minute into the last game, but. You know, I understand this guy's become kind of a, I don't know if he's a whipping boy. He's definitely, if you follow the Twitter feed, he's become the main target. But
yeah, that needs to stop. That needs to stop.
I agree. I think it's a little over the top, frankly. And I'm pretty sure when the coaching staff steps back and looks at the series, they're going to say he's been on for one goal against. I mean, how many goals was Morgan Rielly on for last game? We're not talking about taking him out of the lineup, nor should we
Justin
be.
Justin Hall was a top four defenseman for this team for the last 2 years.
Right.
Then everybody wants to bury him. Like it's
my best guess is that he won't be out of the lineup, but it is a guess. It's not based on any info. You know, I wonder what they do with Lyubushkin. You know, I think they love the physical element he brings, but maybe they're worried about him. You know, when Tampa's had a lot of success in that game getting on the forecheck, right, and forcing the Leafs into mistakes, you know, not getting clear exits from their zone. You know, maybe they look at making a change there, but I think more than likely...
Don't even suggest that. You do not take out Ilya Lyubushkin in this series.
You love the Russian Bear, Carlo.
That's Carlo's boy, CJ.
You do not mess with the Russian Bear.
So I've come on your program and ripped Dave Matthews Band and said Lyubushkin might
be... Yeah, it's a tough start for you. Tough start.
I'm not going to be welcome back on First Up next week. I know that much.
As long as you keep the Italian soccer team, you know, don't disparage them, I think you'll be okay. But it's two strikes against you.
I think the D maintains intact. That's just a guess, just a feeling. I think maybe some changes up front, some line juggling. And that's probably all it's going to be. They're going to come back and, you know, they've won with this lineup too, right? The last game was not good in any way, shape, or form, but they've also won with these same players in the same series.
Yeah, I mean, I think the worst thing you can do is overreact. I mean, in a game where nobody played well, I don't think you need to jump to judgment here and start flirting around with your lineup. You just got to find a way to get certain guys going. And certain guys going obviously means John Tavares and William Nylander. It's nice to see that Nylander got on the score sheet late in the third period. Maybe that's something that helps, you know, kickstart his playoff momentum. But what do you think they do with Tavares and Nylander tonight to get them going?
Well, you know, with having last change, they can probably find some easier matchups for them or you know, shifts to have them have success. But ultimately, I think not – like the coach's job, of course, is to put the players in the best position he can to succeed, but the players also have to rise to the occasion too. And, you know, those guys are feeling some of the heat right now. Yeah, I think for good reason. And, you know, they did have a tough matchup when they were down in Tampa, just the way it shook out. But it should be a little bit better today in terms of who they're on the ice with. And ultimately you just need them to break through and score one goal. I mean, that's basically what we're talking about. I mean, it would be ideal if they could have a Brad Marchand day and have 5 points as he did, you know, a couple of days ago in Boston. But the truth of the matter is you're really looking for a moment from them, a big goal to put the Leafs ahead or tie the game if they fall behind. Something like that is, you know, a difference maker. And, you know, it can even come on the power play. That's the other thing. I mean, both Tavares and Nylander had really strong power play numbers this year and the Leafs have had a fair number of power plays in the series. So, you know, I don't think it has to only come one way. Their first job is making sure they're not on the ice and scored on. And then secondly, you know, they just needed to give a little bit of production. But I don't think scoring goals has been the least problem in the series, honestly. It's how many they're giving up. And so they really just can't get behind.
It's mostly how many penalties they're taking too, right?
Right. But both teams are guilty of that too. So this is the weirdest series I've ever covered. Like, More often than not, one team has been up by 3 goals. Like literally, that's the most amount of time played in the series. So that's not real hockey when one team's either up 3 or down 3. And so we really just haven't seen a tight game. I'm hoping tonight's the one. Honestly, I love playoff hockey. I love, you know, tight, tense situations. And if that's the case, if we get that kind of game, you need a big moment from Tavares or Nylander or that line to lift the team up.
Yeah, 104 of the 240 minutes played in the 4 games so far have had one of the two teams leading by 3 or more goals. Very odd, needless to say. Chris Johnston, our hockey insider, our guest here on First Up. Pierre McGuire was a contributor on this program for a long time, CJ. Last July, he was hired by the Ottawa Senators to be their senior VP of hockey development. Just 10 months later, he's out in Ottawa. What happened there?
A series of bad decisions working with you and then working with the Senators, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
ultimately, Pierre was hired by Eugene Melnyk to come into the organization, and Eugene Melnyk died. You know, that's what happened. I mean, it's sort of crass to put it that way, but you know, I'm not making light of that fact, but I think he didn't have support of the owner anymore, and you know, he's been moved along. You know, I don't think he's too happy about it, probably, but that's how it went for Pierre. And you know, I'd be curious to see where he ends up next. You know, he had a long career in media. He's worked as a coach way back when in the NHL. Obviously, was an executive with the Senators, and you know, we'll see what goes on there next. I mean, the Senators' situation still doesn't have much clarity for me. You know, the team's continuing on. You know, Gary Bettman was down in Tampa, spoke with reporters. You know, said it's business as usual for the Senators, but. You know, at some point we're going to find out if his daughters, if the estate of Eugene Melnyk wants to sell the team or continue to operate it. And I think right now they're kind of in a little bit of a limbo while that all gets worked through.
CJ, I'm inventing a new meter called the Shockometer, and I want to know where your level of shock on the Shockometer was yesterday when you heard that Barry Trotz was fired as the coach of the New York Islanders.
I don't know what the highest range is on the Shockometer, 10 or 100 or whatever.
10.
I was like 15 out of 10 shocked about that one.
Wow.
I mean, look, the guy took them to 2 conference finals, won a Jack Adams Award in 3 seasons. And this year,
After losing John Tavares.
Right. And this year was all kinds of messed up. You know, they had, whatever, 10 or 15 games on the road to start the year because they're opening a new arena. They had one of the early COVID shutdowns that forced them to play 50 games in the last 99 days of the season. I mean, it was not a good year for the Islanders, but, you know, also, what's called as it is. Like the roster on that team is funky. It's weird. You know, I would have more issues with the GM than the coach, put it that way, right, in terms of what's gone on there. And so, yeah, it was a complete shock to me that the Barry
Trotz
was fired.
Were you able to get an explanation as to why they made that move? I know they were very short in their explanation of it, just saying that, you know, Lou came out and said that, you know, we just decided to go into a different direction, need a different voice. But is there something more behind the scenes that went on?
Well, there's a couple of factors. I don't think there's an incident or anything like that or a personality clash. But, you know, I think Barry Trotz is at the point where he's at least considering taking a job in management. And so I don't know how much longer he wants to coach. And, you know, they have a guy, Lane Lambert, was the associate coach on his staff. You know, Detroit, I believe, had interest in him. I think the Winnipeg Jets had some interest in Lane Lambert. You know, he's becoming a bit of a commodity with so many openings around the league. And so I wonder if it's a combination of having a coach that might not want to coach too much longer and having a guy that you want to replace him with on the staff that's likely going to leave if you don't hire him. And so, you know, I think that could be two of the things that happened there, but it's still a weird. I mean, it's also, you know, it's Lou Lamoriello. He fired Claude Julien once at game 79 in the season when his team was in first place. So, I mean, this is a button he likes to push. He doesn't operate on our schedule. I know he's not listening to the media to make his decision. So, you know, I think it's the combination of those factors is probably where the truth lies a little bit. And I can tell you this, Barry Trotz will call his next shot. I mean, he's already had multiple teams reach out to see where he's at. I think he's going to take some time to work through the offers to work, you know, take some time away with his family to let this sink in and plot the next thing. And so if it's management or coaching, he's going to have a chance. And honestly, some of the teams playing right now in round one might want to talk to him if they end up losing. So I think he's going to be just fine.
Just what
in the
Maple
run.
Leaf fans want.
Yeah,
to hear,
you're talking about the
right?
Leafs, CJ?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the Leafs. I'm not.
You have no idea. When this news broke yesterday, almost every Leaf fan that I know said, all right, next coach of the Maple Leafs, if the Leafs don't get past the first round. I'm like, are you guys on drugs?
They just had 115 points.
Yeah, like, you're not firing Sheldon Keefe. Like, relax.
Well, here's the other thing, Carlo. In 3 days' time, the Leafs might be moving on to round two. Is anyone going to talk about firing the coach if that happens?
Probably. Stupid, man. Probably.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's relax. Let's take a breath. I know the last game must have been tough to watch, but, like,
remember when everybody wanted Mike Babcock? How did that work out? Like, relax. Be careful what you wish for. You have a good coach. Sheldon Keefe's a really good coach.
Well, and it's 2-2 against the defending cup champ.
Yeah. It's so,
like,
stupid,
again, I'm not defending game four. It was a miserable performance from the team. But, you know, I'm old enough to remember the 93 Leafs playoff series. I think they lost three games of that series, like 7-1, and still won the series. So, yeah. It doesn't matter. Like, the extra goals Tampa scored don't carry over to tonight. So
no, it's a win. It's credited as a win or a loss. Don't care what the score is.
Doesn't matter. Chris Johnston, our guest. Around 6 years ago, CJ, the Toronto Maple Leafs won the draft lottery, allowing them to select Austin Matthews first overall. Of course, a transformational night for the Toronto Maple Leafs franchise. I don't think tonight represents the same type of transformational possibilities with regards to the draft lottery, where the Montreal Canadiens have an 18.5% chance of selecting number one. As far as what you're hearing about Shane Wright or Logan Cooley, the presumptive number one and number two picks in the upcoming draft, like, how good do scouts, people around the NHL, think these kids could be?
Well, there's certainly less hype around them than the Matthews draft. Yeah. And look, Matthews, McDavid happen to go, you know, in consecutive years, but they're unicorns. They're not the kind of players that are available every year in the draft, you know. And let's not look past the fact that these kids have just lived through a pandemic the way we did. You know, in Shane Wright's case, the OHL didn't play basically last season. You know, I don't think there's any question their development has either been hurt or slowed by the times that they're in their formative years, going through a tough time when arenas weren't open and the whole bit. So, you know, I don't want to be too hard on them or anything like that, but I don't get the same feeling that there's as much excitement about this draft, even as next one, right? Next one, you have Connor Bedard, who ripped up the WHL this year as a 16-year-old. You know, there's a player, Michkov, in Russia next year that everyone's excited about. And so this year, you know, there'll be a star, or there's going to be a star somewhere taking the draft. I just don't know if it'll be with the number one pick. There doesn't seem to be a lot of consensus about the best player in the draft. So you still want to win the lottery if you got balls at play tonight, bouncing around there. But, you know, it's not quite the same thing as what the Leafs won. I mean, they finished last the right year and got lucky the right year, put it that way, with Matthews.
They sure did. Well, CJ, you're probably going to be in the building tonight. You're in both buildings and through game four. Give us perspective. You talked about how crazy the crowd was in game one. You never heard it anything before like that at Scotiabank Arena. There was talk about how insane the noise was in Tampa in game four. Which crowd was louder? Who has the advantage of home ice here?
I honestly think Scotiabank was louder. I mean, I didn't have a noise meter with me, so it's, you know, it's partly maybe where I'm sitting.
You had the shock-o-meter with you.
The shock-o-meter was dialed up to 1,000 with Gary Trotz to be fired. But honestly, I think Scotiabank was louder. It was crazy in there both nights. Obviously, it got a little quieter in game two. The Leafs fell behind early in that game and didn't end up being much of a game. But, you know, I'm impressed with the Toronto fans. I think much like the Leafs are trying to shed a reputation in terms of some of their playoff demons, these fans in Toronto are sort of changing the way they're viewed. And so I would expect
it tonight.
I would expect it'll continue tonight. I mean, this is as big a game as Matthews, Marner, and these guys have played, in my opinion. Just coming off the way they lost game four, it's clear what's at stake, but it's also clear to me that if they play well, they can win the series. I mean, it's not, you know, as much as we want to focus on who isn't scoring for Toronto, I mean, look at Tampa. It's not like their star players are running the Leafs out of the building. I think the Leafs are counterpunching pretty well with the Lightning across the entire series. And so, you know, having home ice advantage is supposed to be an advantage. And so if the Leafs can take care of business tonight, the fans take care of business, we're going to have a different conversation about where the series is at tomorrow.
20 fingers, hit it. Crash into me, CJ. I know you love your Dave Matthews. Thank you for doing this for us. Oh, what a beautiful song. Listen to this voice.
Oh, my God.
That's good stuff right there. Thank you, Chris.
See you, guys.
I can just picture CJ playing the Dennis Shapovalov voice in his head right now.
Dave Matthews, enough. Dave Matthews coming to Toronto, actually, in June.
Really?
So, any interest, Coco? You and I sitting on the lawn at
the
Molson Amphitheater, whatever it's called?
Not a concert.
Budweiser
not the
stage?
Best.
Not the best?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Dave Matthews, but...
I think it's Bono's birthday today as well.
What?
I could be...
Get out of here.
Correct.
Why are we not playing U2?
That's bad technical producing from 20 Fingers. He's struggling this morning. But yeah,
it is Bono's birthday today. Come on. What are we doing? This should be all U2
today. I don't know.
Today.
Well, we got two more segments to play some U2, and we'll do that for our next guest, Ben Verlander, Fox MLB analyst. There is some monumental, mammoth news surrounding Tom Brady and his future, not only on the field, but off of it. We'll tell you better on the other side as First Up continues here on TSN 1050.